Hola, talks. Abi Togun. Welcome back to Empire Lifestyle. Here we're talking about business, relationship, real estate, and marriage. Let's get going.
So there are seven things that you need in order to wholesale a real estate in pre-foreclosure. Number one, you need the seller to be motivated. This is not one of those situations where you are doubting if they're motivated, they're not too sure, anything like that. They need to absolutely want to get rid of the property. The property is bad on their books. The property is not what they want. The property is a nightmare for them, and they have to feel like they have to get rid of the property, as in like right now, as in like yesterday. There's no beating around the bush about this. You don't need to sell them. They're already motivated. They just need to get rid of the property. This is a house in pre-foreclosure, and that should be enough motivation. If that's not enough motivation, this is going to be a waste of time for you, and you're going to waste a lot of energy, and no deals will still close. So the second thing that you need is basically a sales contract. Just like any other deal, you need to get this under contract, right? So you need to put this under contract as soon as you can. So how much are you going to put it under contract? So you need to do your regular analysis, the ARV, the repair costs. You need to know what's going on in the area and be able to put it under proper price point. Yes, you still need your formula. So typically, ideally, you want to be around 55% minus the repair cost, right? 65% is fine, 70% is fine, even 84% can be fine, depends on your market. But you need to know what your formula, the formula that people are purchasing, deals under distress for, that investors are purchasing investment deals, right? Basically, you need to know what that is, okay? I did a lot of home there, but you get the point, right? You need to do that proper analysis, and you need to have it under contract. That's the first thing. Second thing next. So the third thing you need to do is you need to determine if there's equity in this deal or not. Okay, basically, if they owe too much more than the property is worth, that will be called negative equity. Okay, if that's the case, you're gonna need the next four steps. If they don't owe as much and they basically have some equity, they just want to get rid of it and the numbers look good for you, everything goes as normal, okay? Yeah, even though they're in pre-foreclosure, you do everything like normal. You're going to basically, at the closing, you're going to basically make a full payoff to whatever liens they owe or anything like that. There's enough room in the equity to do the deal as normal, okay? However, if it's a negative equity, meaning the property is underwater, meaning they owe much more than the property is worth, then you need to negotiate a short sale. If that's the case, you need to listen to the next four steps, the next four things that you're gonna need to negotiate and wholesale this piece of real estate that's in pre-foreclosure if it's underwater, all right? So the first step is only useful for you because the property is underwater. They owe too much more than the property is worth in mortgages, in any kind of lien, anything like that. For the most part, it's probably a mortgage. So for example, they owe $500,000, but the property is only worth $300,000, right? If that's the case, you need this fourth thing, which is an authorization to release. Basically, they need to give you an authorization to talk to their lien holder or the mortgage lender, the person that they owe money to. Basically, you need to negotiate a short sale with that person. In order for them to talk to you, they need that homeowner to give you an authorization to release. Basically, a signature on a document that says it's okay to talk to this person. The fifth thing that you need, which is only necessary if the property is underwater, is hardship analysis. You're not going to do the analysis, but there's a few documents you need to get together and make sure they're together because the bank may ask for them. Basically, the first thing is a hardship letter, okay? Basically, something stating that, hey, you know, we're in this problem. So what does that mean? That means they must be in some kind of financial crisis. If they're not, there's a good chance this is not a deal. If they are, they need to explain that in the one-page letter saying why they got in trouble financially. The other thing they should have is two recent pay stubs, okay? The other thing they should have right under this fifth step, okay, is they need to have a two recent tax returns. All of this need to show money that's not enough to cover the property, because if it is, chances are the bank will not want to take a deal. They won't want to take they won't want to approve a short sale. Basically, they need to do a hardship analysis. That's the step that we're talking about right now. The sixth step basically is that the bank will want to do a broker's price opinion. It's just a fancy way to say appraiser, but a lot of time it's just exterior, meaning somebody's gonna drive by the property and then do an analysis of the location and see what the property is worth. Basically, the bank wants to know what the property is worth. If they're doing that, if they're ordering a BPO, we'll call it BPO, broker's price opinion. If they're doing that, that means they're really interested and you should continue with the process. All of this process can take 2 years, can take 2 weeks, can take anything in between. It depends on the bank. But you have to be patient. It can't be the only deal you're working on, obviously. But that's the key thing. A broker's price opinion will be necessary. My tip for you, here's a quick tip for you. When they do order the broker's price opinion, make sure you're the point of contact, meaning they'll let you know when they decide to go to the property, at what time they want to be at the property. That way you can show up. Here's a tip for you. You need to show up with comparables that's more comparable to the price you're looking to purchase for. And you need to hand that over with a copy of the sales contract. You need to give that to the person, the appraiser, the realtor that was sent by the bank. That way they can look at it and consider it when they're determining what they think the property is worth. For the most part, it will influence how, it's all opinions anyway, it will influence what they think the property is worth, and you'll be able to get the property for what you think it's worth if you're able to make money on it as a wholesaler or as an investor. Okay, so here's the tip again, really quickly. You need to hold on to three comparables that's more comparable to the price you want to purchase for. So the area needs to show some low comps, okay, more on the lower end, and then show them the sales contract for the price that you want. So in other words, you can't really be going through this process unless you took care of step number two, the sales contract that shows how much you think you can get the property for. Well, the contract that you had in the beginning, right, in step two, you need to have that and then give them a copy of that. They know enough not to share that with the bank. It's just a way for them to show them that, hey, this is what I'm willing to pay. All right, for the most part, they will consider it and they will use that in their report in terms of determining what they think the property is worth. The last thing you should keep in mind with this process is that you may need to do an exit strategy called the LLC transfer, okay? And this affects step two as well, the sales contract that you had in the beginning. Basically, the bank has a lot of restrictions these days. The bigger mortgage banks have restrictions on their short sale approvers. Basically, you're not allowed to flip the property for a certain period of time. But the way around that is to do what they call an LLC transfer. So you put the house under contract with the LLC that's specifically designed and created for this property. That way you are under contract with that LLC, but what you do in order to flip the deal is you sell that LLC, the company, you sell it on, of course, with the property, with the equity interest in that property, you sell it to somebody else for your fee. That will be your wholesale fee. So if there's restriction on the short sale approval that you can't transfer title for like 3 months or 6 months or something like that, you can't sell the deal, basically. But if you have it under an LLC, you can sell that LLC, you take your fee, the new owner will own the LLC plus the property that it comes with. So it's called LLC transfer. That's the seventh thing that you need to prepare for if you're going to be wholesaling a property that you had to negotiate a short sale with. So keep in mind, the first two steps is always necessary. The next five steps after that is absolutely something you should pay attention to if you're going to wholesale a property that's underwater and in pre-foreclosure. Hopefully that was very helpful. Hopefully you've been enlightened and educated. I will see you on the next one. And
thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. If you want, please, if you don't mind, can you please rate and review this podcast? You can rate it on your favorite platform. It could be iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, anywhere you're listening to this podcast, please rate it and let everyone else know about it. As a free gift, I do have a free gift, two of my books, my two most recent books, smartrealestatewholesaling.com is where you want to go to go get this book. Let me repeat that, smartrealestatewholesaling.com. You can find my first book, which is Smart Real Estate Wholesaling, and my second book, which is Real Estate Money Secrets. You can go to www.smartrealestatewholesaling.com. That's SMART realestatewholesaling.com, all one word. I'll see you on the next podcast. Peace.